As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to The Audible, presented by Trader Joe's. I'm Stuart Mandel, joined as always by Bruce Feldman for our third episode of the week. Might be a record for the Audible, Bruce. I really, really jinxed it Monday night when I signed off saying we were going to once a week.
Stu, when the greatest coach in the history of college football retires,
that's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've had, and look, credit to Greg Byrne, the Alabama AD. He told the players when he broke the news to them, give me 72 hours. He did it in probably 52 hours. So,
and by all indications, talked to the very names that we were talking about on this show the other day at various, and helped get them all raises. We should put it at that. At various points in the last 48 hours, we saw Dan Lanning announce he's not going anywhere. Steve Sarkisian announced he's not going anywhere. Mike Norvell, they actually went ahead and announced a new contract for him. And so as those started whittling away, it became increasingly apparent that all eyes were on Kalen DeBoer at Washington. And that news came down early afternoon here, West Coast time on Friday. Your initial thoughts on the hire?
I think it's about as good a hire as they probably could do. You know, if I think I would, I don't want to speak for you, but if we just said who are the best coaches that they could get, you know, to me right now, Kalen DeBoer is one of the five best coaches who's working in college football right now. Some of the other guys who I think they might have talked to are close to that. I'm not sure that they're there yet. He's done an amazing job at Washington. He's done an amazing job wherever he's been. The other thing that's interesting about him is, unlike, except for Norvell, but like the other guys either had worked at Alabama, because certainly Sark did, certainly Dan Lanning did, you know, that they know that situation. But like, he's never been down there. He's not worked for Saban. But I think his temperament is such where, having spent a lot of time around him, you know, he's just very, very cool and collected and has a poise about him that's different. And so, again, you know, I think he knows what he's getting into, but what he's going to get into is, it's just, you can't really prepare for it because the spotlight and the crowdedness of it is going to be different than anything he's ever experienced. Because honestly, no one's ever replaced Nick Saban either. So it's times, you know, times 10.
Yeah, I wrote a column that went up on The Athletic today, Friday, that I think, you know, he's as impressive a coach as they could have realistically hired. Like, somebody, the very first comment was, what about Kirby Smart? Kirby Smart wasn't going to come to Alabama. So of anybody they could have realistically gotten, he's as impressive as anyone. It's just remarkable how quickly he has risen up the profession here in the last few years. He was Indiana's offensive coordinator in 2019, not that long ago. 2 years at Fresno State, two remarkable years at Washington. I don't know, though. I mean, I think he's walking into what might be an impossible task, because crazy stat. Nick Saban was the coach there for 17 years. He had more seasons where he reached the national championship game than seasons he didn't. So the bar for Kalen DeBoer to be considered, you know, for the fans to feel like they got the right guy, he's going to have to reach national championship games, not just playoffs, national championship games. It's really hard. Now, I think the good news is it's not a, rebuilding at all. You're going to inherit a really good roster. You're going to inherit a quarterback, I think, who could be one of the best in the country next year, Jalen Milroe, with Kalen DeBoer's coaching. And so maybe you start out with a bang and you build yourself some mileage that way. But, you know, it's a whole new world as we go to this bigger playoff. And I should say with, a loaded SEC, you look at the schedule that he has to play next year. It is daunting. And Alabama has not had a three. Like, if you in a vacuum, if Kalen DeBoer came in his first year, went 10-3, you'd say, good job. At Alabama, that would be the worst season in 14 years. It's just an absolutely unprecedented, I think, situation. We've talked about replacing legends, but this is replacing the greatest coach of all time with his program still very much at the top of the sport.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, and the only, like, there isn't a real comparison for this. I mean, like, the Alabama job, because, look, they've gotten it wrong before, you know, after Bear Bryant, who most people have prior to Saban getting rolling, was a lot of people's greatest coach of all time, and then it was up and down. You know, Gene Stallings did win a national title. You know, they had Mike DuBose. There was, you know, Franchione was in there. I think some of those people forget. Obviously, Mike Price was there for a second, you know, and then Mike Shula. I think that in this case, you know, we're at a different fishbowl time too, because it's just social media is different. Everything around it is different. You know, like, to me, the job outside of this one, take this out for a second, that has an incredibly high, that probably has, like, they all have, all the blue blood jobs have some challenge to them. Like, absolutely, Ryan Day's situation, even though Urban Meyer, you know, even though he only won one national title, is different. I just think, you know, you look at LSU, the previous three coaches before Brian Kelly, each won national titles. That's the standard. If you don't win one, you know, within like 4 or 5 years, you got to go.
Yep.
You know, Brian Kelly's on the clock there. I mean, so it's like Ohio State, LSU, and absolutely, you know, absolutely Alabama, just because of who you, it's not just you're there, it's the guy who just left.
So I went back in history. When Bear Bryant retired in 1982, Alabama hired Ray Perkins. This is before my time. Are you following college football when this happened?
A little bit. I remember Ray Perkins was the Giants head coach. That's what
He was the Giants head coach. He had played for Bear Bryant. He takes the job. In his first season, he goes 8-4, and they finish 15th in the country. In his second season, they go 5-6. He stays on for another 2 years, and they go 9-2-1, and then 10-3. And then he left to go back to the NFL. Hypothetical, if Kalen DeBoer goes 5-7 in his second season at Alabama, is he gone right then and there?
I suspect he would be. Yes.
Yeah. It's just, that's how different this environment is. And even if he wasn't, even if Greg Byrne, if he's still the AD, was like, you know, it's only been 2 years, give him time. Like, a lot of the fans will have given up on him by then. So all I would say is it may be that no coach in the country could live up to these expectations that he's about to enter. That's why I said earlier in the week, I'd rather be the guy who follows the guy. But I do think Kalen DeBoer inspires confidence that he could be that guy. It was kind of crazy. I was looking back at other examples of coaches in situations like this one where they're replacing a legend at that school. And what's crazy is how often these schools hired somebody to replace them that had no prior head coaching experience, right? Nebraska promoted Frank Solich. By the way, Frank Solich was just announced to be entered into the College Football Hall of Fame this year. But as we know, in Nebraska, he lasted 5 years and he was fired. He had been an OC. Lou Holtz leaves Notre Dame. They promote Bob Devey, who is an OC. You know, obviously the Ryan Day example comes to mind. How about when Steve Spurrier left for the Washington, what was then the Washington Redskins, and of all the people in the world, Jeremy Foley hired Ron Zook. Nobody knew who that was, right? So compared to those situations, Alabama hit a grand slam. They got the guy who was the head coach of one of the teams in this year's national championship game. That's very hard to pull off.
Well, also on the pressure of Alabama, what's double is Bill Curry, who honestly, of all the people I think I've ever met in college football, might be the most decent human being, and I probably respect more as much as anybody. And he goes from 7 wins in his first year to 9-3 to 10-2 and basically playing in the Sugar Bowl for the national title game. And that's it. And then because he didn't beat Auburn, which we know what that rivalry is like, he ends up there, you know, going to Kentucky. You know, it's a really, really...
Remind me, did he leave on his own?
My understanding of it was there was a contract that they offered him, was almost like, it's we don't want you here kind of contract. Okay. And so he ended up going to Kentucky there and basically accepted a deal to go there. Off the top of my head, I don't remember much more of the details of that. I should have researched it before.
It's pretty crazy. He won the SEC in his third. So he went 10-2 and won the SEC and finished 7th in the coaches poll. And you're right. They then offered him a contract that he didn't particularly like and went to Kentucky.
And so, yeah, again, this is like the of all the people, and I would say this probably to anybody who's ever met him, is probably like as decent a human being as you could come across, especially, you know, of the coaching world at that level. It's just kind of like it's a crazy world, crazy coaching world.
Now, the thing that changes it all, right, is 12-team playoff. I mean, it's just insane that Nick Saban made the playoff 8 of the 10 years of the playoff.
That is going to get more guys fired, by the way, Stu.
Okay, yeah. Explain.
So the coaches I've talked to think that will cause more guys to get fired because the bar is a lot lower to make the playoff. What, you didn't make the playoff? You went 8-4? You got to go. Like this feeling is, you know, that will be like missing a bowl game to a lot of schools.
I 100% agree. It's not every school, right? I mean, expectations are different one school to the next. But for the kind of schools like Alabama and Ohio State and so on and so forth, I think it'll be just like the NFL, right? In the NFL, it's a pretty clear dividing line. Either you made the playoffs or you didn't. There's no citrus bowl to go to, right? Either you made the playoffs and you was successful, or you missed the playoffs and you failed. And how many times do we see coaches who had just NFL coaches who had just been in the playoffs like 2 years ago, and then they miss it 1 year and they're out? I could absolutely see that happening with coaches at the highest rung college programs. I think, you know, basically you got to finish in the top 11, which means you can you have some more margin for error. You can go 10-2. Some years you might be able to go 9-3. And so considering Nick Saban was able to get them into the 4-team playoff 8 times in 10 years, no doubt Kalen DeBoer is being expected to make the 12-team playoff every single year and do it while playing in a conference that now has Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, they'll play them every year, Auburn, they'll play them every year, and also Oklahoma and Texas. They're scheduled next year. Oh, also we should note that Greg Byrne, you know, when Saban was still there, has started to beef up their non-conference schedule, which was always, you know, one marquee neutral site game and 3 nobodies. But a lot of the SEC schools have been going to home and homes because of what we just talked about, the fact that it might not be, you know, one loss and you're out anymore. So next year, Alabama plays at Wisconsin in week 3. Then they have an off week. And then they play Georgia. And then in October, they play at Tennessee, followed by Missouri. And then in November, and this is the really crazy part, Alabama, I can't imagine, has ever had a November like this, at LSU, then Mercer, then at Oklahoma and Auburn. So that's what you've got waiting for you, Kalen DeBoer.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, Washington needs a coach now. And, you know, I feel bad for Washington fans. Like, nobody likes to be a springboard school. And, you know, here you are. You just, you know, you're one day you're in the national championship game. You're going to the Big Ten. You're looking at this really bright future the next day. You got to go find a new coach. Now, one possibility would be to promote his OC, Ryan Grubb, who Alabama actually tried to hire last year. But that, you know, I mean, in your opinion, or maybe what you know so far, would they be more apt to go outside?
I think the tricky part here, Stu, was there's two dynamics to this search that are kind of unique. The first one is that you got the specter of Michigan and its search that could happen, you know, unfold next week if and when Jim Harbaugh goes to the NFL, and you could have some overlap with candidates. The other thing that's tied into this is there will be some players in the Washington program who will be on their fourth head coach next month, because some of those guys who came in were part of Chris Peterson's 2019 class, played for Chris Peterson, then played 2 years for Jimmy Lake, then played 2 years for Kalen DeBoer, and now you're going to get somebody else. So, and where I'm actually going with that is, Jimmy Lake made a lot of sense to be the guy when Chris Peterson left and was very promising, and a lot of us thought he was going to do really well, and he didn't, and it was a disaster. And that's not a knock on Ryan Grubb. They're different people, different personalities, come from different sides of the ball. You know, it's just, there's nothing in common other than they were both coordinators and both well thought of, who had a lot of opportunities, decided to stay, and they weren't head coaches before. And the last piece of that, I think, is something significant, because when Kalen DeBoer came in, he hit the ground running and fixed it. And because he knew, because he'd been a head coach for, you know, a decade or so. You know, I know he was an OC briefly and he bounced around some other places, but, you know, he has a lot of head coaching experience. I think they will be able to get, if they want, some really good sitting head coaches for this job. You know, if I'm Washington, I'd be very interested in saying, hey, you know, could I get Jed Fish? Jed Fish, outside of Kalen DeBoer, and maybe including Kalen DeBoer, is the one guy who's probably done as impressive a job revitalizing a program in the Pac-12 as Jed Fish. I mean, they were horrific when he showed up. They were on a 12-game losing streak. They almost beat Washington this year, and they won 10 games. He's done everything right there. He also knows, you know, he's lived in Seattle before when he's on Pete Carroll's staff. He knows what it's like to coach in the Big Ten because he was, you know, worked for Harbaugh at Michigan. I mean, he would make a lot of sense up there. Then you have like Chris Klieman at K-State, another guy who, small school guy who's continued to do well. And I think he might listen. And the name that to me is most overlapped with the potential Michigan search is Lance Leipold, who I know both of us think very highly of at Kansas. Also, you know, kind of grew up in the Big Ten footprint. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan looks at him very seriously. I thought Michigan, you know, if they didn't go in the direction of Sharon Moore, I thought they would really look very closely at Kalen DeBoer. But obviously, Kalen DeBoer is now off the board. So if you are Troy Dannon, the new, and he is new, it's not Jen Cohen anymore, the new Washington AD, what would you do?
I think Jed Fish would be a great hire. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't even really thought about all the various connections you just brought up. in terms of having been in Seattle, having coached in the Big Ten. I'm just mostly focused on, like you said, took over Arizona program that hit absolute rock bottom and now has them in the top 12 and, you know, probably has as good a shot of anybody to win the new Big 12 next year. But that's also a reason why, if I'm Jed Fish, I'm seriously considering this job if they offer it, because in this new world, if you can get into the Big Ten, if you're not in the Big Ten or SEC and you can get into it, I think you have to. And there's going to be a bit of a ceiling if he remains at Arizona in the Big 12. You probably can't say for sure till we get into it, but I would think most years it's a 16-team conference and you're going to have to win that conference to go to the playoff. For us, Washington in the Big 10 could have the fourth best record and make the playoff as an at-large team. Obviously, if I'm a coach taking over there, I'd be concerned to some degree about how's this going to work. How, as a school in Seattle, we're joining a conference with Rutgers and Maryland and Penn State. You know, the logistics of this could be tough. Washington has also had financial troubles recently. But we also know they were prepared to offer Kalen DeBoer, you know, $9 million or whatever it was, to try to keep him. So that would be my lean. I do want to mention about Chris, not about Chris Klieman, about Lance Leipold. I feel like for the last 2 years, anytime any job has come open, we have mentioned him for that job. Clearly, we are very impressed by him. But I have yet to see him actually get offered one of these jobs. Is it possible that you and I are more impressed by Lance Leipold than actual college ADs?
It is possible that you and I are smarter than them.
Well, of course, I'd like to think that. But
no, I really think that they outthought them, you know, overthought it or didn't.
He's not flashy enough, I think, is what it is.
Hey, no disrespect to Kalen DeBoer. Kalen's not flashy either.
True.
You know, neither is Chris Klieman. You know, there's a lot of these guys who are not flashy. They're not pithy or whatever you want to say, or however they should play it on social media either. They're just really good football coaches. By the way, Kirby Smart's not flashy, not whatever, any of those things. You know, he knows what it takes.
I don't think it should be a requirement to get the job by any means, but I think sometimes they get caught up in winning the press conference. You know, I have not heard from Jen Cohen during this. Well, maybe, you know, she's at USC now, but I mean, she deserves all the credit in the world for hiring Kalen DeBoer when she did, because it was not a win the press conference hire. Nobody knew who he was, right? Unless you were closely following Mountain West football or back in the day, NAIA football. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that if Washington had lost to Oregon in the Pac-12 title game, which it very easily could have, he's probably not the coach of Alabama right now. It's just making the playoff and winning a game in the playoff just completely changes a guy's profile. And so to that end, like, Troy Dannon is the AD at Washington now. He was at Tulane. He hired Willie Fritz at Tulane, who ended up taking them to a New Year's Six Bowl. I don't think he'll be caught up in that. I don't. I think he's just going to try to hire the best football coach. And so maybe that is Lance Leipold. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he has really good options. Look, and Ryan Grubb could be a really good option. You know, people have talked to him, and I've talked to him a little bit, but people who have talked to him come away very, very impressed with him. It's not right that, you know, because it didn't work out one other time we hired somebody else who's like, just because, you know, because it was here. It's just, and again, he wasn't that AD then either, right? That was, Jen was the AD when Jimmy got the job. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's, in some ways, I feel like this is an easier hire, you know, easy for me to say. It's not like my job is depending on it, but it feels like this, the search options for replacing Kalen DeBoer are easier or more, seem to be more sensible than the ones that were to got Kalen DeBoer the job. I know that's going to sound weird because I think Kalen DeBoer is a top five coach, but I just think there's so many variables in place that going into that job that are different. Just like, you know, at the beginning of the search, like, the, as you said, the names, this played out how kind of we thought it would. And, you know, in my search story, there was, I mean, there was five coaches: Sark, Lanning, Kalen DeBoer, Mike Norvell. And then the fifth one is the guy who's the most accomplished of all of them and the guy with the most ties to the place, and that's Dabo Swinney. And he's also the guy, like, if Kalen DeBoer had decided, yeah, you know what, I don't want to take it, I'm not ready to leave, I want to stay here, I don't know, would Dabo have been the guy that they would have gone to and then everybody would rip that hire?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, first of all,
they would have ripped the hire?
I don't think they would have hired Dabo because these are like very small sample things, but first of all, some students, then I think the night Saban retired, were like were outside his statue chanting, "No Dabo, no Dabo." And then I want to give credit to the writers. Let me think who it is for a second. Ryan Nanny on the Messenger did a survey of Alabama fans and asked them to grade, like, one, give 1 through 10 grade to these dozen or so possible candidates. Guess who got the lowest one? Dabo. Dabo. I think Shiano might have been in there. No, Dabo. The point being, I think Alabama, whatever, regardless of what he's accomplished, I think Alabama fans hate him. So I don't think they would have gone that way. But I don't know, you know, I couldn't see them promoting Tommy Rees either. We'll never know what they might have done if Kalen DeBoer had stayed. So now we're on Harbaugh watch. We've been on Harbaugh watch. Obviously, these NFL jobs, there's not as much of an urgency. So sometimes it drags out. The process in terms of the ripple effect that might have. No chance, by the way, Pete Carroll goes and takes the Huskies job, is there?
I would doubt it.
Yeah.
I would seriously doubt it.
It'd be a cool little twist, but I doubt it. So in the meantime, while we wait on that for Michigan, Michigan's rival has had one heck of a week. When I do the early top 25, it's always a little challenging. Because a lot of times with teams like that, a lot of their best guys haven't decided yet whether they're going to turn pro. And in Ohio State's case, that was a bunch of dudes. But in talking to our Ohio State writer, Cam Robinson, he's like, you know, I'm hearing most of those guys are going to come back, including Travion Henderson. And I was like, wow, okay, that seems... Or no, the one he said that I could not believe was JT. Because he's projected, I think, in the top 10 of the draft. Well, sure enough, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. turned pro, as you would expect. Mike Hall Jr., their defensive lineman, did. Coming back, Tui Malohau, Travion Henderson, Jack Sawyer, the other really good defensive end, Denzel Burke, I think would have been a first-round quarterback. Who am I forgetting here? Donovan Jackson, offensive lineman. I'm forgetting somebody obvious here.
Jack Sawyer,
Emeka Buka.
Okay.
The you know, second receiver with Marvin Harrison. The NIL world, Bruce, that's insane for that many top underclassmen to come back.
The one that surprised me the most, Stu, is actually Travion. And that one happened. I follow him on social media, and I happened to be like looking at my screen when that came in. And I was like, am I misreading this? Because, like, I think he is wildly talented running back. I mean, when he is healthy and he's ready to go, he's a spectacular talent. It's just, you know, there's times where he's banged up and he doesn't play, and you're wondering, like, you know, running backs are different just in terms of like the durability issue. They're also different in terms of like what their value is now when it gets to the NFL. You know, the injury factor is a real thing in that position, and the hits factor is a real thing in that position. You know, so I was like, wow, he's staying. I mean, that's something. I would, you know, some of the rumblings we've heard also is that, look, you know, Ryan Day may give up play calling and may bring in, you know, another offensive coordinator, you know, and that person may have the opportunity to reshape the offensive staff. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air right now with the Buckeyes. But if I was a Buckeye fan and just saw the talent that is coming in, that you rattled off. I mean, obviously we're going to see what happens with the quarterback position, because they've been so elite at that position for so long until this year. We'll see what that's going to look like.
And then keep in mind, so I had heard Travion Henderson was leaning to coming back, but when they got Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss in the portal, I was like, surely he's not going to come back and share carries in the, and sure enough, he's back. So now you have both of those guys in the backfield. Those are both all conference, proven all conference running backs. And then Will Howard coming in at QB, who is not like a sure thing, right? Necessarily. He's just gives them more security than if it would have just been Devin Brown and nobody else. The bar is, you know, the bar is going to be very high for that team. That team is going to be.
The bar is always high, Stu. The bar is always high.
But this year it's going to be like, they can't lose to Michigan. They have to win the Big Ten.
That's what people said,
like, last anything year. Short of that.
People said last year.
This past year. This past year, they had a lot of question marks. Their offensive line was a question mark, and it turned out to be, in fact, a weakness. Kyle McCord, we had never seen before. You know, I think. And then, of course, Michigan had everybody coming back, right? Michigan was the Big Ten favorite last year. It'll be Ohio State. I will have to tear up the top 25 I did the other day because since that went up, the number two team, Alabama, lost their coach. The number six team, Ohio State, just got back a bunch of dudes. Michigan, Washington is going to be dropping like a, you know, pretty far. They already had Jabbar Muhammad, their best cornerback, just entered the portal today. So we'll have to do a 2.0 version of that here soon.
By the way, do you know where you had this team picked last year ago at this time of the year?
Ohio State?
Yeah.
Last year, I think I had Michigan 2, Ohio State 3.
Good. So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like you had them like 6 or 7.
No, but I'm saying this year Ohio State will be the clear cut, like the old days. Like, and when I mean old days, like 2 years ago. Like, it's going to be, although Oregon coming in there has a shot as well. I don't know if
they'll be clear cut anything.
Oregon also keeps just loading up in the portal. They just got Evan Stewart, who, you know, broke out as a freshman at A&M 2 years ago, really good receiver. So, and we still are waiting on a lot of Michigan guys. We don't actually know what Michigan's roster is going to look like next year. The assumption was it's a bunch of seniors. They'll have to start over, but a bunch of those seniors have eligibility remaining.
But a lot of those guys are already teed up to go to the Senior Bowl.
And JJ McCarthy hasn't announced. So it should be interesting. Look, of all, you know, we could say a million things about NIL. You could talk about the dark side of NIL. Florida State's offensive coordinator got busted by the NCAA yesterday for helping try to get. That was actually a pretty crazy story. Kind of, none of us knew they were under investigation. They became the first school to get in trouble because of an NIL collective trying to buy a player. But
that's going to send a message.
No, I think that was something that took place in April of 2022, which in NIL collective years is like 50 years ago. They've become so much more sophisticated since then. And I don't think that
it is a pretty significant punishment they give to Alex Atkins. And Alex Atkins, by the way, is like one of the more well-regarded assistant coaches around the country. You know, he'd interviewed for some head coaching jobs. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say this, you know, I remember I don't know if it was on this podcast or offline, but we're talking about tampering a while ago. And I was like, you know, these coaches are so worked up about it, but they won't do anything. Like, if you think somebody's tampering, why don't you turn them in? And you said, because they don't have any faith the NCAA will do anything. Well, what clearly happened in this Florida State case is, so the kid was playing at Georgia and entered the portal, and Florida State tried to get him. And they offered him $15,000 a month. And then he withdrew from the portal and back to Georgia. So obviously Georgia turned Florida State in. Now that you've seen that this can happen, will other schools, it can't be that hard. Like, the kids come back and they have all the texts on their phone. Like, you could turn people in if you want to. But my sense is they won't. Why? Because they're all doing it now. Everybody's doing this.
I would agree with you. And I do think everybody is doing this to some degree or another.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't actually get to say what I was going to say, which is one of the benefits of NIL, I think, for college football fans is more star players staying in school longer. Like, that we will go into next season and you're just going to have a lot more household name, established star player. I mean, I feel like Travion Henderson's been at Ohio State for 5 years already. It's hard to believe he's only a true junior. Coming back to college football, which is great. I don't want to say when the next podcast is going to be, because you just never know when the next thing is going to drop. But it'll probably be soon, next week. And I'm not even going to jinx that. We'll be back next time on the Audible. Send your email questions to theaudiblepod@gmail.com, and we'll see you then. How did we get away with the things we used to do?